Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We thank you for this word that we hear every year on this second Sunday of Easter. We thank you for the truth that it shares about the risen Lord and his care and concern for all of his people. And may we have hearts and minds that understand it and trust that it is the truth. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. There is a wonderful Peanuts cartoon by Charles Schulz. Lucy and Linus are sitting in front of a television set. When Lucy says to Linus, "Go get me a glass of water." And Linus looks at her surprised. "Why should I do anything for you? You never do anything for me." "On your 75th birthday," Lucy promised, "I'll bake you a cake." And Linus got up, headed to the kitchen, and said, "Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to. Life is more pleasant when you have something to look forward to." And isn't that kind of where we find the disciples on the road to Emmaus in our Luke passage today? Only maybe the reverse, in that they don't have anything to look forward to. But we had hoped. Oh, what those words convey. But we had hoped. Can you hear the despair in those words? Can you hear the pain in their words? I would venture to say that all of us have had our Emmaus Road experiences. It is a part of human life. I had hoped that we would get married. I had hoped it was not cancer. I had hoped that we could walk through or work through our marital problems. I had hoped if she would get better, or he would get better. I had hoped I would be over my depression by now. I had hoped no one I knew would die from the coronavirus. I had hoped. And how would you finish that sentence? We all have times when our straight path through life becomes crooked and rough. We hope we can keep going, but sometimes we feel like we don't know the way. We feel lost. We don't know how we can keep on going. And I think many of us are feeling that way now, 6 weeks into the midst of this pandemic. We have our Emmaus roads, and we don't like them. We don't want to acknowledge them. We stoically just try to plow our way through. But does that really help? Or does that put us in the counselor's office down the road? We want to get to the burning hearts part of the story and forget the "but we had hoped" stretch of the journey. But I would share with you, it is precisely the lost hope of the disciples that led them to Jesus. The presence on the road, who opened them to their history, to the scriptures, to their faith, to their Christ. I'm reminded of that wonderful hymn we all sang, or most of us perhaps, when we were growing up, and which we still pull out from time to time, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And there is that wonderful verse which says, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." In many ways, I think that verse could kind of be the theme book song for our passage today. But we had hoped moments. Debbie Thomas, in a blog with the same title as my sermon, "But We Had Hope," writes concerning our Luke passage today. When Jesus tells the story, as he does to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it restores both its context and its glory. He grounds the story in memory, in tradition, in history, in scripture. He helps the travelers comprehend their places in the narrative that long precedes them, a narrative big enough to hold their disappointment without being defeated by it. When Jesus tells the story, the death of the Messiah finds its place in the sweeping cosmic arc of redemption, hope, and divine love that spans the centuries. When Jesus tells the story, the hearts of his listeners burn. The smoking embers in the hearts of Cleopas and his unnamed friend are fanned into a burning flame of faith as they listen to the words of Jesus, as he reaches out to them and shares their story and the story of all people in the context of God's love and presence. Their hope was not in vain. Christ was the one who could not only save them, but who could also make sense of it all. I want to ask you to read my article in the Sterling Stuff newsletter coming out next week for the month of May. I talk about how when we are in difficult times, it's so easy to do bad theology, or saying things like, "God sent the pandemic to make us change our ways," for God never gives us more than we can handle, as if God gives the bad stuff. Jesus says nothing like this. The Christ is the one who loves all of us. The Christ is the Son of God who loves all of us. And here is how we know it from this story. When they reached Emmaus, they still didn't know it was Christ walking with them. But they invited Jesus to come in and to eat with them. They invited Jesus in. He was going to walk on. But they said, "No, the day is far spent. Come in with us and eat and spend the night." I know I've shared with you a number of times, but when I visited St. Paul's Cathedral in London back in my college days, there I saw Holman's Hunt's large picture of Christ standing at the door and knocking. But what is very interesting about that picture is that on the side that Christ is knocking on, the outside, was no door handle to open the door. Christ can't open the door. The door handle is on the inside where we are. We have to open the door to let Christ in. The disciples had to invite Christ to share and to stay with them and to share a meal with them. And when they were at the table, Jesus took the bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Christ fed these two disciples who had lost their hope. The simple act of breaking bread and offering it to them, and they regained the hope that they had lost. You know, often hope comes in the simplest of acts. Sharing of a meal. A recognition. A prayer. A hug. A remembrance. An act of love. Oh, sure, we would like the big Cecil B. DeMille extravaganza because, well, then we would see the hope and we would know it. But you know, very rarely did Christ act that way in his life. It was squatting down and drawing in the dust of the street and quietly saying, let the person without sin cast the first stone. That saved the woman from being stoned. Yeah, there was the dramatic Lazarus come out when he raised his friend, the beloved disciple, from the dead. But you know, there were so many times in his life when he said, get up, take your bed, and walk. We see this in the pandemic. Hope is given in the smallest of ways. Back in the beginning, I remember, probably most of us heard it, a woman was going into the supermarket and she heard some people kind of saying, help. And she went over to them. It was an older couple who were deathly afraid of going into the store and catching the virus. So she went in and did their shopping for them and brought it back out to them. Perhaps hope is given in the pandemic with sharing a prayer with a person who's in the hospital or suffering in some way over the phone because you can't be with them. Perhaps it's talking with your neighbor while you are both standing in your yard more than 6 feet apart. Just making sure that each of you are all right and if there's anything either one of you needs. Hope can come in the smallest gestures. When I was growing up in Indiana, the pastor of my church, every Easter would have what he called an Emmaus walk for the youth group on Easter evening. And we would be taken by adults in cars to someplace out in the country and dropped off, and we would just walk. Most years it was just a walk, but then my last year, we had a person that was unknown to us youth. And he joined us in the middle of a walk. Of course, the minister who was walking with us knew him because he'd set it up. But he said, what are you talking about? What are you doing? And we began to talk about Jesus and the Emmaus story. And then we arrived at a member's house. And there would be hot dogs and chips and soft drinks, and we would share in fellowship. It was very simple, but you know, I still remember it today. That was a special time. We were loved and respected by a minister who had worked hard the week before and that day itself, and by the family who hosted us on that busy day. You know, it's the simple things, like talking about important things, taking time to pray, reading scripture, calling someone, telling someone you were sorry for something you said or did, sitting quietly with someone going through a hard time and praying for them, silently or with them, out loud. Those are the kinds of things that move us from "but we had hoped" to "burning hearts." I will end with another quote by Debbie Thomas. "But we had hoped." Yes, we have. Of course we have. So very many things are different right now that we had hoped they, than what we had hoped they'd be. And yet, the stranger who is the Savior still meets us on the lonely road to Emmaus. The guest who becomes our host nourishes us with presence, with word,